Good to have each of you here tonight. Let's have church tonight. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to start with 133 in your book, 133. If you'll turn there and stand with me, we're going to sing "I Feel Like Traveling On" tonight.
My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Nor pain nor death can enter there. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. It's glittering tires, the sun outshine. I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling, traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on. Well, the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling, traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
That's good singing. You may be seated. I asked Elijah, I said, now, brother, how many of you want me to sing tonight? He said, just start at the start and keep on singing. I said, you're not nervous, are you, brother? He said, a little. All right. He's a dandy, that boy. Love him. Good to see this good number. I said, you look like a traveling evangelist, son. They're filling up the house. We must be having tent revival tonight. I was really laying it on him, wasn't I? Got to have fun with him. I love him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. That's the most important thing tonight. We're going to pray about things in the Lord's house. Who's got a special spoken or unspoken prayer request on their heart tonight? Anybody in the house? Yes, I see. Hands. Anybody? All right, we will, Miss Brenda. Absolutely. John, see you. All through the house. Yes, Brother Henry. Okay. Yeah. Yes, Brother Ken. Absolutely will. Anybody else tonight? It's God's house. Okay, we'll remember that. And I've got many unspoken tonight. Don't have to look far, do you? And we all need prayer, amen? Every one of us. All right, let's have a couple ushers. We'll take up our Sunday night offering. Thank you, Henry. Tom, bless our offering tonight.
Lord, so thankful that you let us come back tonight. So good to be in your house. So good to be at the family. So good to see so many of the family here. Isn't that wonderful? Now, Father, I just ask one thing tonight. That you be magnified. That you be glorified. That you be honored. And anoint this young man. And you do the work of it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Miss Becky. 345 in your book, 345. Let's stand together as we sing this song. Where could I go?
Living below in this so sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's soul, where could I go but to the Lord?
Sing it now.
Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord?
Amen.
Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, with friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death,
yeah,
where could I go but to the Lord?
Sing that chorus with me now.
Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul, needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord?
That is beautiful. You may be seated. Come on, Brother Henry. Share that song with us tonight.
You know, thinking about Elijah being up here tonight preaching and the many years he's been in front of, I don't know, countless preachers, and thinking back to all those old preachers telling him one more time about Jesus. Tell me one more time about Jesus, all about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus, all about my Savior's face. Here comes my old friend, the preacher. He's knocking on my front door. He's out trying to save all the sinners. He's been here so many times before. I love the easy conversation. Man, that preacher sure can talk. Brings up my need for salvation. Even though he knows I'm stubborn to a fault. Tell me one more time about Jesus. All about forgiveness and grace. Tell me one more time about Jesus. Lord, I need just a little more faith. Walk by the church Sunday morning. I slipped on in the back door. Sure been a long time coming. Tell me, preacher, what I need to know. Words were like a cool drink of water. He said, sinner, come on down the aisle. So I went running for the altar. Should have seen my old friend the preacher smile. Tell me one more time about Jesus.
Tell me
all about forgiveness and grace.
Tell
me one more time about
Jesus.
I long to see my Savior's face. Oh, I long to see my Savior's face.
Fooled you. Got all y'all here now. I'm going to preach. I just used Elijah. Oh, this is good. This is good to see everybody. It really is. He said, you always this nervous? Yeah. So I've been nervous for 60 years, son. I was just thinking when I was Elijah's age at 16 years old at the first church over in Keystone, my wife's aunt brought her to church just to see me. And we sat right back here on the left, not in this church, in their church, right back here. I was 16. She would have been 16 within a month or so. And we sat there together, and I was nervous, you know, sweaty palms and everything. And when it come time for church to be over and to take her home, I rode with their aunt over to her house, and she let us out in front of the house, and we walked up to the front door. Man, she was pretty. She had this little red checkered dress on. Remember, it was 1960. 59, actually, to go back a little farther. And I didn't want her aunt to see me kiss her, so I didn't kiss her. I just let her go. But the truth was, from that day on, we were together for 50-some years. And God's good. And there's not a bigger gap between preachers than me and Elijah. That's a big one. And he's nervous, but he's gonna make it just fine. You pray for him, and he's going to serve. By the way, he's got some friends here. He's going to mention his friends, and he's going to mention all those that are here that came just to hear him. That's what he's going to do. And then he's going to preach. Right, Elijah?
Yeah.
That's right. Come on, buddy. Had this boy since he's a baby.
Well, good evening. If you don't know me, I'm Elijah Prophet. I've been in this church since I was probably, well, out of the hospital. My grandmother has had me in this church for, well, 16 years. And I thank her every day for it. She's actually sitting right back there in the black and white on the right-hand side. She's had me here about every Sunday since I was out of the hospital, so I'd like to thank her. I thank all my family and friends for coming and listening to me. You know, I'll try not to ramble on that much, but I just wanted to thank y'all before I got started. So where I wanted to start was, I went to a Christian youth camp about a week and a half ago. And I was doing a study there, and I was online, and something caught my eye. And it said that 68% of the U.S. are Christians. And I thought, well, that's a really good number. And then it said 6% of those Christians live that Christian life and walk by the Bible. And that really hit home for me, because, you know, I know I've done it, where you live this, you say you're this Christian, and you go to church on Sundays, and you do all this stuff. But then, through the week, people might see another side of you. And that's what we don't want as Christians. So, I'm going to go ahead and start in Galatians 5:19. That's where I'm going to start at, and we'll just figure it out from there. It says Galatians 5:19. Here, I'll let y'all get to it before I jump to it. All right, everybody ready? So it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, assimilations, wrath, strife, seditions," and I can't pronounce half these words. But it's talking about all these things in the world that aren't of God. And you look at our world nowadays, and it's just filled with every single one of them. And I see it a lot in high school. And, you know, they don't have the Word and God in schools as much as they did, you know, when most of you went to school. That's not really a thing nowadays. So we have to kind of stand up. But now I'm going to jump over to verse 22. "But the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." Amen. Those are the things we need to strive for. Yeah. Because if we are not striving for all these things that make us Christians, then we're not Christians. Right. We are putting on this face and saying, you know, yeah, I go to church Sunday night, Wednesday night, all these days of the week, but you're not living that life. And that's a big thing, because in order to believe it and receive it and all these things, you have to live that life. So the first question I had wrote down in here was, do all of our actions on a daily basis justify God? And that's what we have to think about every single day we wake up, is, are we doing every little thing on this day for the glory of God?
Amen.
Because if we aren't, then what are we doing?
Right.
You know, you go out and you might go to church on a Sunday morning and you give your offering and you do all these great things in the church. and then you go home, or you're listening to some kind of music in the car that you shouldn't be, or you go home and watch something on TV that you shouldn't be. You know, does everything you do on a daily basis glorify God? And I feel like that's something we need to focus on nowadays. Because if we are not doing every little thing in our lives for the glory of God, then we're doing it for the world. And that's the last thing we want. So I want y'all now to flip to Colossians 3. 3 verse 5. It says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, indurate affection, evil conspicuousness, and covetousness, which is adultery." You know, all these things that make you this old person, you have to put away with all of these things to glorify God. And that's something else that a lot of our world struggles with. You know, you can do so many of these good things, but you say, well, I'll do this just once, or I'll watch this show, listen to this song, do this thing. You know, just once turns into twice. Twice turns into doing it for a week, a month, a year. And you have to just let it go. And if you will go down to verse 12 in that. "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness, and meekness, and long-suffering." That's talking about becoming the new person in God. You have to, when there's a reason they say reborn, because you aren't changing your ways. You are becoming a new person. You are becoming a voice for God. Because sometimes, like I would know myself, sometimes we don't always know when God's talking to us. Let's say you have a topic on your mind all week, but you don't know if it's God talking to you or anything like this. But then you get to church on Sunday morning, and that's what the preacher preaches on. I feel like we, first of all, we have to listen to the signs that God gives us, and all these just little tiny things that he gives us, telling us, you know, we need to do this different. We need to talk this way. We need to live this life in order to glorify him. Amen. So I want y'all to flip to Proverbs 3. I'm going to kind of jump around. Proverbs 3, verse 5. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding." We have to take everything away from, everything has to be out of our control. You have to give everything to God in order to be this man for God. You know, you can sit there and you can worry about things, or you can think about things that are out of your control. But until you give it to God, it won't be fulfilled. We cannot do these things on our own. We have to give every little thing in our lives to God, whether that's praying about something, hoping, singing, talking in front of a church. You have to give it to God, or it's not worth listening to. So I heard a saying, and it was, you don't get clean to go to God. You go to God to get clean. And that really touched me, because there's a lot of people out there who are like, well, I live this kind of life. I do these things. I can't go to church. I can't pick up a Bible. I can't sing in front of a choir. You know, I can't do all these things because I'm this kind of person. Well, the Bible says to get clean, we have to go to Him. We cannot make ourselves clean without Him. And that's something else that you have to understand in this life, is you can't do anything without Him. You have to walk in your daily life with Him. Every second of every day, you have to spend with the Lord. And that's something I know I struggle with. I know a lot of people struggle with. But you have to just think about, you know, am I doing this for the glory of God? You have to do that with every decision you make on a daily basis. Am I doing this for the glory of God? And that's something that, you know, really, really touched me when I heard it. Because, you know, it makes you think, well, maybe I did that yesterday. I did that last week, you know. Well, earlier today I did that. You have to be doing everything in your life for the glory of God. And I know I've stepped out of line. We all have. I've stepped out of line before. Everybody has. But we have to just put all of our faith in God and stay on that right path with Him. So I want y'all to also now, we'll flip to 1 Peter 1:13. I might have to find it myself. Bear with me here. Well, daggone.
After James.
Right before Jude. Well, daggone. Hold on. What did I say? 1 Peter. That's right. There it is. There we go. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. It says, yeah, I think it meant it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, and stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus have shewed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have them and these things in remembrance. So, what I got out of that was him telling us to turn from our ways. And that ties into everything I've talked about, is you have to change your life in order to glorify God. You can't change one little thing on this day and then change this thing this day. You have to change your life. Even if you are doing the slightest little thing out of the glory of God, you have to turn your life around and walk the narrow road. That's another saying that I've heard that it just hits me, because the saying went, the road to hell is wide like a highway. Everybody can travel down it extremely easy. But the road to heaven is slim and narrow. And not many people will take that road.
That's right.
Just like going back, 68% of the U.S. are Christians. But that's not the world. How many more people in the world don't even know Christ? And that's something I think as children of God we need to work on. We need to work on being evangelists for God. Going out in our schools and our just the public in general, and showing them what Christianity is all about. And going back to it, if you are living this life and saying that you are a Christian, how does that look when the world looks at you? If you go to church on Sundays, Wednesdays, but then you go out and do this thing, and then somebody on the street's like, well, they said they were a Christian. You know, why are they doing that? You know, well, that's how they talk, but they go to church on Sundays. You know, you have to live as an image of God. Think about every morning you wake up, every little thing you do, somebody is watching you, and somebody sees that as a reflection of you, your church, your family, and God. That's how I was raised. My grandmother always taught me, anytime you're anywhere, you're a reflection of your family, your church, and me. That was the list. So, I had to make y'all laugh at least once. It was getting tense in here. But we have to do every little thing in our lives knowing that other people are watching us and that we are living our lives for the glory of God. And if you're not living for the glory of God, then you are living for the world. My throat's drying out. So now we're going to flip to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. And no covetousness shall they with fervent words make in chase of, golly, I'm butchering these words, of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation stubbereth not. For if God spareth not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them in chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment. So, essentially, what he's saying that in there to me is that nobody is above him. Nobody. Not the angels, not the rich people, not the guy on the street. Nobody is above him. And we have to think about, you know, our good works, you know, they might be a representation of God. And it's good to do good works, but those good works do not get you into heaven. Now, we need to live as a representation of God. We need to live a life where people say, man, you know, you can see God in him. You can see God in her. We need to be a light. But we also have to make sure that we are right ourselves before we go out and do these things. I have a youth pastor at another church, and he told us his testimony. He said he was a deacon at a church and wasn't saved. You know, wasn't right with the Lord, and he was a deacon of this church. And it got me thinking, you know, we need to get ourselves right before we try and help other people get right. Because if you're not right, you're not speaking from God. So if you're not right and you're talking to these people, you're spreading false information. And the Bible says, like Dan talked to this morning, or I think it was Tom that talked about it, we do not want to alter the word. Because it is all false if we add to it or if we subtract from it. By itself, every little bit of it is true. But if we do anything in our power to alter it, it's no longer worth being around or listening to. So there's a verse in the Bible, and it says, I don't exactly know where it is, but I heard it, couldn't find it, but it really hit home. And it said, walk in spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of your flesh. And it got me thinking, well, the reason most of these people walk in flesh is because they aren't right with the Lord. And you fight this battle constantly, every single day, of the battle between flesh and spirit. That's what I call it. And you always have to go with the spirit because the flesh is wrong. And it got me thinking, if you are right with the Lord and you are walking how the Bible says to walk, you will not walk in flesh. I can promise you that. If you live your life exactly like the Word says, you will never walk in flesh. If you fulfill all of the Ten Commandments and the fruits of the Spirit, and you do all these things, you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. You have to wake up every single day and say, I'm going to live today for God. I am going to be a light to the people around me. I'm going to, you know, help this person out. I'm going to pray for this person. I'm going to listen to this kind of music. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. You have to wake up every single day and do all these things in order to be this righteous person for God. Because God wants to live through all of us. He wants to live through every single one of you. But He can't do that while you walk in flesh. And I heard a preacher in Nashville talk about this, and I thought it was great. Was he says, well, there's people coming up to me say, I don't see the miracles anymore that God performed back in the day. And he responded, well, are you in the places that the miracles can be made? Are you reaching out to the people in your life that you know need help? Because if you're not, then you're not being this light for God. And we have to wake up every day and say, you know, God, I'm going to let you decide what my life's going to be. I'm going to let you decide what I do today. I'm not going to live by my own opinion or my own choices. You have to wake up on a daily and say, okay, you know, God, just take it. Take all the worry, you know, overthinking about things, worrying about things. You have to put every little ounce of faith into Him. And it can't just be, well, I'll give this one thing to God. Or I'll give this to God and this to God, but I'll keep this and worry about it. You can't do that. You have to give it all to God, or it's not worth it. And the last thing I wanted to touch on, if I can find it, which I probably won't be able to, but God has given us His Spirit to live for Him. The Bible says so. He has given us His Holy Spirit to live and do the actions that He wants us to do, to live the life that He wants us to. He has given us the ability to do all these things, but He has also given us free will. So we have to wake up and choose how we are going to live through our days. And that was one of the big things that has been on my heart for a while, because I know I'm guilty of it. I know some days I wake up and it's just, you know, maybe I'll push it to the side today. Maybe I won't wake up and read my Bible as soon as I get up and pray. Maybe I'll just wait until later on in the day. Maybe I will you know, well, I'm too busy to go to church. I can't go Sunday night. I'm too busy. I'm tired. You know, the devil puts all these things in our life to keep us from living for God. But we have to walk in spirit and say, you know what? I need to be in church. I need to read my Bible. I need to pray. You have to do all these things in order to live this life that we all say we live. And if you are saying you're a Christian every single day, and yet you are living this Christian life every single day, but there's one day where you don't, somebody will see it. And somebody will say, well, he was great all week, but there was that one day where he was just a totally different person. You know, you don't want people looking down at you like that, because they also look at your religion. And that's why there's a lot of Christianity that gets a bad rap, because I hate to say it, but there's a lot of churches that, you know, well, we don't want you here. We don't want this. We don't want that. We have to be open to everything. You know, we have to help every single person that walks through those doors. We have to care for every single one of them. Because if we turn one person away, that could have been a lost soul. You never know what you're turning away. So, when I was in Nashville, we did a community outreach to this church in the smack center of Nashville. And it was these little kids. And these little kids live in, you know, non-Christian households. Or the parents aren't always there. Or they don't really know who God is because nobody teaches them about that. I was blessed enough to have a loving, caring family that always kept me in church. But some of these kids don't. But you tell them about the Word and they want it. And yet there's people my age that you even talk about it and they won't look at you. But you can't, you know, not like them for that. God says to love everyone. Never hate. Love everyone as they were your own. And that's something I know I've struggled with. You know, I'll say, well, I don't really like this person. I don't like this person. I don't want to be around this person. But you don't know, well, maybe this person doesn't know the Lord. Maybe they're just waiting on somebody to teach them about the gospel like those kids were. And that's how we have to look at our world nowadays. You have to say, well, instead of separating myself from these people, maybe I go in and teach them about the world, the Lord. Maybe I go in and just, hey, can I pray for you? Can I read you some scripture? You know, can I just lay my hand on you and pray for you? And that might go a long way in some people's life. Because there's a lot of people that don't like us Christians just because we're Christians. But you have to look past that and you would have to say, well, I'm going to act like the Lord would want me to act. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to hope for you. I'm going to hurt for you. I'm going to do all these things for you because that's what Jesus would do. He would care. Even Jesus on the cross said, forgive them, Lord, Father. They do not know what they do. He was forgiving the very people that were killing him, that were crucifying him on that day. He forgave all of them. And he said, forgive them all. And that's what we have to do in our lives. We have to forgive. We have to love. We have to hope. We have to pray. And I'm going to close on this. I don't know how long I've talked, but we have to live a Christian life in order to be Christians. You have to wake up every single day and fight the flesh and live for the Spirit. Because if you are not, you're living for the world, you are not fulfilling your purpose, and you are not doing what God wants you to do in your life. So, that's what God laid on my heart. And I felt like that was a big thing that needs to be talked about nowadays, is the world tries to make all these little things okay. Well, you can listen to this kind of music. You can do this. You can do that. It's okay. And it's not. We have to live by the Word. And if you are not living by the Word, you're essentially dead. You are dead in spirit. And we have to be this light. Think about yourself as a lighthouse. And you shine this light. And you are guiding all these lost people. And showing them the way to live. And if they see you as a Christian living a non-Christian life, why would I want to do that? That's what I'm doing already. Why would I want to be a Christian when the Christian is doing the same things that I'm doing? So we have to be essentially the bigger person and be that light for all the people around us, our friends, our family, our schools, our everything, just the public. We have to be a light. And if you are not living for God, then you're living for the world. That's what I'll close on. Well, I'll go ahead and pray, and then I'll let old Dan take over. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for letting us be able, for everybody to just have a wonderfully safe trip here, Lord. We pray that everybody would have a wonderfully safe trip home, Lord. We pray that everyone in this congregation will at least take something from this message that you have let me speak on, Lord. I pray that you would touch every single soul in this room, Lord. And just let them be that light for you. Let your light shine through them, Lord. Let them show all the people of the world what it is like to be a Christian and live for you, Lord. We pray that you would bless every soul in this congregation, Lord, and that you would let them have a wonderfully safe trip home and a good night, Lord. In your heavenly name, amen.
You feel like an old man? I'm going to go to the Office Depot and get him some paper clips. You got to have paper clips, son. Even with paper clips, I've had a hard time finding some. We love you, Elijah. We do. And we're here for you, son.
Thank you.
Okay? Amen. Thank you for coming tonight and supporting Elijah. Thank you for giving God the glory for this young man's life. And let's help him along the way. Okay? Be there for him in any way you can. And I see your friends back there. And you're so lucky to have friends. I never thought you had one. Now, see, you got plenty of them and family members. I'd like to make mention of one person. Is it okay if I make mention of one person who's here tonight?
I think it's okay.
Mouse Williams. Mouse came because Elijah was speaking tonight. I didn't know he loved you that much. But he does. And we're so glad that Mouse is here for him. Okay, God bless you. Listen, Wednesday night, we're back in the Old Testament again. We're in the Minors. Y'all know where we are. We're Minors. Zechariah, don't forget to come back Wednesday night, okay? If you don't come back, I'm going to have him preach again next Sunday. Amen? Okay. God bless you, man. We love you. You're going back to the back, okay? And people shake hands with you as they come up. Let's bow our heads and we'll be dismissed while Elijah goes back to the front door there. Please let him know that you're praying for him, would you? And love him. It's been good. Lynn, would you dismiss us, please?
God, that you bless us with throughout the week and those in the soul. We're with us now.